Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to the Life Enthusiast Co-op Online Radio Network, restoring vitality to you and to the planet. I'm your co-host, Scott Patton, along with the star of our show, the president of the Life Enthusiast Co-op, Martin Fitella. Hey, Martin, how are you doing today?
Blushing.
An interesting thing happened here recently. About 15 minutes ago, it was a beautiful, cloudy, wintry day. It went relatively warm. I'd gone out for a walk. And in about 10 minutes, we had a hailstorm, which was quite unusual. So we just had all this hail come, and we've got about a quarter of an inch of white stuff now on the ground.
Okay.
So it's amazing how fast things can change.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, especially imagine yourself about 10,000 years ago, where you're mostly naked or with not a whole lot of technology surrounding you, and you're out there in the elements on a trek from A to B with not much any place to hide.
That's right. Well, there's been some talk in the scientific community about things that have maybe been changing or different ways people are looking at things. And I don't normally buy magazines, and I certainly don't normally buy women's magazines, but I couldn't resist because in the February 21st edition of First for Women, there was good news from Princeton University. Release trapped fat. Lose 100-plus pounds without dieting.
Now, that's a good one. The without dieting,
that
catches my attention.
Yeah. So this is the cover, right? So there's this beautiful woman, and she's got she's holding out her pants, which are now like 10 sizes too big. And scientists ID 4 kinds of carb sugar metabolic types and discover what's right for your carb type to lose stubborn pounds fast. So that really got my attention because I was thinking, okay, what are the pop culturalists talking about these days?
Mm-hmm.
So I bought the magazine, I turned to the cover story, and I thought, wow, this is fascinating stuff. So what they've done is they've discovered a cure for carb addiction.
That's
new evidence reveals a biochemical basis behind stubborn weight gain caused by carbs and yields a solution that lets you lose 3 times the belly fat, boosts energy, and more. So obviously their copywriter had a field day with this. But what I thought I would do is read about the first 2 paragraphs, and then we can maybe get into some of this stuff a little bit more, because I think it's really important, first of all, to see what's being put out there constantly in the media, and how close is this to what we've been talking about over the last few months?
Yeah, let's hear it and let's take it apart.
Okay, so it used to be that many in the science community viewed being addicted to carbs, in quotes, as little more than a nice way of saying greedy guts. But a flurry of new research into the whys and hows of carbohydrate addiction have made believers out of the skeptics. People have been saying for years that they felt they were addicted to food, and there were even some clinical accounts of food addiction, but it really hasn't been studied in the lab, recalls investigator Nicola Avenia, PhD, a former researcher at Princeton University and now assistant professor of psychiatry at the University of Florida in Gainesville. Because it seems that a lot of these addictions were associated with carbohydrates and sugar, that's where we decided to start. In a landmark study, is there any other type? Avena's Princeton team used a sucrose solution to model concentrated carb consumption. They found that rats who were offered the sweet treat for 12 hours each day not only engaged in binges that grew more extreme over time, they developed anxiety and other symptoms of withdrawal when the solution was withheld. Even more telling was what happened to the animals' levels of dopamine, a neurotransmitter that drives pleasure-seeking behavior by activating reward pathways in the brain. Normally, dopamine is released by initial response to a new food, but it's a novelty thing Once people get animals get accustomed to the food, the response tapers off. But we found that dopamine was being released each time the animals ate the sucrose, a pattern we see in response to amphetamines and other drugs of abuse. A second groundbreaking study released last year revealed just how powerful this carb-dopamine link can be. When scientists at the Scripps Research Institute in Juniper, Florida, gave rats access to healthy fare and an assortment of junk food, including bacon, sausage, cheesecake, pound cake, and frosting, sweet carbs proved to be the animals' favorites. One group of rats that had an hour to gorge consumed two-thirds of their daily calories in that single 60-minute session. More ominously, a second group of animals that had 24/7 junk food access all but gave up their healthy chow and ended up consuming twice as many daily calories as those in a control group. What's more, these rats' eating behavior became downright compulsive. They were even willing to risk an electric foot shock to score their frosting fix. That's what happens as animals become addicted, explained lead study author Paul Kenny, Ph.D. They can't control their behavior even when they know something bad will happen. And when Kenny's team examined the animal's brain pathways, their reward circuits had literally crashed. We found extremely marked disruptions, much like those that occur with repeated cocaine use, Kenny says. The researchers also detected a drop-off in D2 receptors, which regulate dopamine activity in the brain, a key discovery since separate human studies have determined that D2 defects are common to both drug addicts and overeaters. We believe that many overweight individuals tend to have lower levels of this dopamine receptor because there's simply too much activity going on. If a person is doing too many drugs or eating too many cheesecakes and donuts, the receptors get overstimulated and baseline activity goes down in response, Kenny says. Although the body may still be trying to protect itself, the brain is actually triggering an adaptation that contributes to more of the same behavior. So there you go.
Yeah, this is great. Okay, let's just highlight the few points. So I heard you say that it's at the brain structure, the sugar causes the same pathways to be flared up as cocaine.
Yes.
Or speed, amphetamine.
Yeah.
And the response to the sugar intake is similar to what happens with amphetamines. And so the first thing that comes to me is, okay, you do become addicted, and it's not your fault, because the dealer is your baker, is your grocery store.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And it starts with your grandma or your auntie or some kindergarten teacher who will bring in a bag of candies as a reward for whatever they want out of you.
Yeah. Well, and look at what happens at Easter, at Christmas, at Halloween.
Yes.
We just stock up on all this sugar.
But it's not we do it to our children.
Right.
We actually condition them from early childhood. We turn them into addicts, and by the time they're 6 or 7 years old, their brains have completely been tested whether they can or cannot become addicts to sugar.
Right.
And many do. And I'm remembering Oprah Winfrey, you know, an iconic figure who, I don't know, back in the 80s when she ran the marathon, presented herself skinny and slim and trim, and she pulled the famous wagon with, I don't know what it was, 60 or 70 pounds of fat behind her.
Right.
And showing off the fat, saying, this is what came off of me. And then within 2 or 3 years, she pushed herself all the way to 237 pounds again.
Yeah, she yo-yoed like crazy.
Right, and I heard her on one of her shows admit that for her it's a bag of chips. And in some days it was potatoes, some other times it was corn chips. But it was a carb addiction. And here's the insidious thing that's been taking place. It's called HFCS, high fructose corn syrup. It's a thing that they're trying to now rename to corn sugar. Well, it's actually not made by concentrated sugar the way you would concentrate it from sugar cane or sugar beet. This is actually enzymatically, chemically isolated from a corn juice. And anyway, this thing is very sweet tasting to the mouth, but it doesn't digest the same way as we know it. So, because it's very inexpensive and because it's very easy to add to foods, the industrial food producers have taken to it. Mm-hmm. So these days soda pops are sweetened with that, and great many other things that you'll find in grocery stores are sweetened with HFCS.
You know, it's interesting you say that, Martin, because a friend of mine has a timeshare down in Cabo San Lucas, and
yes.
He invited me to come down and spend a week with him there, and I did, and he was all excited because in Mexico, the formula for Coca-Cola is much closer to the original and what we would have drunk in the 60s and 70s,
yes.
50s, 60s, and 70s, than it was in the United States, where he lives. And he says, yeah, he says, in the States they use this fructose glucose syrup, and in Mexico they use, like, sugar.
they use sugar cane, yeah.
Sugar cane, right? And so when he had a Coke, I said, well, can I have a, I don't want to have a Coke, but I'd like to have a sip because I do remember what I think it tasted like back in the old days, right?
Yes.
And so I had a sip, and I thought, oh, yeah, that it does seem to taste a little bit different than what I remember the last time I had a Coke, you know, like a couple of years ago. So, but I just thought it was kind of funny.
Yes. Yeah. So, okay. So let's go back to the core of it, which is the carb addiction. I mean, that was amazing. What they were describing is they're describing the rat who becomes so stimulated that it essentially goes into a binge, right?
Yes.
It'll consume 2/3 of its daily calories inside of 1 hour. Or it will walk through electric shock pads to get it. Yeah.
Unbelievable. I mean, amazing.
Yeah, this and, you know, I'm reminded of all of these people who are overweight. And I think, you know, I think this really happens more to women than men. And I think it has to do something with how the hormonal process works, that they become first addicted to the carbs, then it feeds into the candida cycle. Again, they are more susceptible to the candida infection than men, and it just creates these whales. Mm-hmm. You know, these people who just cannot help themselves. They're in this endless loop of brain forcing them to eat more.
Yep. Well, it's like an addiction, and if we treated it like an addiction, I think we would deal with it in far different ways, right?
Right. And so, I'm speculating that in men it happens with beer or with bread.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Sandwich addicts.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Dagwood. The cartoon, Blondie, right? Dagwood,
yeah.
He just has this big sandwich all the time. I mean,
right.
But I remember listening to the radio, and they were talking about taking junk food out of the school. I guess they have vending machines, and they have junk food in the vending machines, and they were talking about taking that out. And
right.
The other side was talking about free choice and, you know, and that sort of stuff. And I'm thinking, you know, what they're totally missing is that it's... Because they're talking about, like, just let the kids, you know, teach the kids, you know, what's good, what's bad, let them decide, that sort of thing, right?
Yes.
And I'm going, you know, this is, they're so missing a big part of the puzzle, which is, what do the kids do? They watch TV and that sort of stuff, and what happens is they see the O. Henry commercial, and they see the Dairy Queen commercial, and they see the Coca-Cola commercial. They go and they buy tickets to the
movies,
the movies and the and that sort of stuff. What are you gonna get there? There's Coke
a
commercials.
64 ounce Slurpee.
Yep, all that sort of stuff. And so they get marketed so many different ways, and that influences the children to make bad decisions. So I'm all for you make your own decisions as long as it's like you've got 50 commercials an hour on Coca-Cola and Henry bars, then let's have 50 commercials an hour on the carrots and eating well. let's balance it out.
But now, here's what comes up for me, is that this is a self-reinforcing loop. The kind of products that make the kind of margins that could support the kind of advertising costs that's extolled on the television channel has to be, number one, cheap to make, number two, hugely addictive to provide the returns to the advertiser.
Right.
And number three, it has to be addictive.
Yep.
And so what really needs to happen is we need to actually show this article to the regulators and legislators and say, folks, it is time to classify sugar the same class as cocaine.
Yep.
Because that's what it does to the brain. So either decriminalize cocaine or criminalize sugar. What will it be?
Right.
And I think that's really what needs to happen. If the free choicers win, then we will have deregulated this insanity about drugs. Or if the regulators win, then we should have both coffee and sugar regulated and sold specifically to people with coupons that they get to punch, and they can only have free needle exchange sugar clinics.
Well, and what it sounds like is that the abuse has a physiological impact on the brain that causes us to have even more trouble dealing with the with our weight.
Right. So you know what I'm worried about? I think we might be preaching to the choir here. Meaning that the people that are listening to this podcast may have already made the connection and may have already stepped out of this picture. Mm. However, if you find yourself addicted to carbs, there is a way out. And that is, it takes about 20 days, and you need to essentially put yourself on a cold turkey carb sugar withdrawal diet. You need to switch your body from burning carbs for calories to burning fat for calories. Now that's pretty nasty. We do have it all described on the Life Enthusiast website. There are articles by Dr. Ron Rosedale. He has studied the topic. The topic is the major insulin and major hormone in the body called insulin. Then it's related hormone called leptin. The insulin process essentially is triggered by having too many calories in circulation. People think that insulin is a hormone that's supposed to regulate sugar in the blood, but that's not what that is. Its primary role is resource management. It's supposed to create what we call reserves for the lean times. Because we are designed for feast and famine. We're supposed to have great times when the fruits are ripe or when the hunters bring home the big kill. And we're supposed to eat like crazy. We are supposed to stuff ourselves beyond full.
Right. That's because in the old days, we didn't know when we were going to eat next.
That's right. So for 3 days after they brought home the woolly mammoth, we eat. And then we put on weight, right? I mean, we do put on weight.
Yep.
And then over time we lose it again because it could take 3 weeks or 6 weeks before the next one. I don't know how long, right? This is speculation, but it'll be a while before we have a feast again.
Exactly. So getting back to this article, they talked about four carb cycles.
Oh, yes.
And the result, and they actually had, it's just brilliant. They have this questionnaire, right? What type of carb cycle are you locked into? So So they would have like five questions you would answer, and then did you answer mostly A, B, C's, or D's, then you would be, this is what you are, right?
What are they?
Well, type 1 was always tired. Type 2 was overstressed. Type 3 was brain drained. And type 4 was low spirited.
Okay.
And then they have a page on each one where, with a picture of a woman who lost between 80 and 120 pounds. And it's amazing how much better they look when they're healthy.
Yes.
And then they go into, you know, what the type is, how to break the cycle, and, you know, sort of a key to doing it, right?
Right. Well, when you say those words, that reminds me of the four metabolic types that we talked about earlier, mm-hmm. where we have people either dominated by their endocrine system or by the energy processing system. And, you know, in the endocrine, the two major or most popular types are either thyroid or adrenal driven. So if you're adrenal driven, you tend to be stressed. You know, you either are overstressed or seeking to understress or de-stress yourself. If you're the thyroid, you know, Oprah Winfrey is the thyroid type. She's a classic for it, where the body's too sluggish.
Yeah.
Okay. The people who are on the adrenal, they are not a good candidate for coffee drinking, because they're already overstimulated.
Right.
But they probably are the donut eaters. Because the person who has overstimulated their adrenals loves sweet. They just love the taste of sweet. Mm. So, you know, sweet drinks, sweet cakes, sweet anything. It just calls. Anyway, and the other ones are the oxidative processing, and essentially, if you overfeed that, you end up being acidic. You know, depression is a liver congestion issue. So there's your too much carb, too much nutrition, sleepy. And the other one is you have your candida overgrowth. Your gut is not able to give you the energy that you need. So one of them is the lack of joy, and the other one is the lack of energy. And both of these are symptoms of acidity in the body. You know, when you alkalize the body, and this is what we do in the nutritional side of things, we say, well, eat a diet that's going to be alkalizing. Which means you're allowed to eat a fist-sized serving of a concentrated food. So visualize a fist-sized of potatoes. That's probably one potato or a small bowl of rice, and you can eat that with any size of salad. I don't care if it's 1 or 2 gallons. Hmm. And that's what would take you out of this addiction. As long as you cut back the carb intake down to about 100 grams a day.
So we need to have some carb intake, right?
Oh, well, for the energy itself. Otherwise we, you know, otherwise the diet is 800 calories a day and we just completely wither away.
Right. You know, so it's not an either or, it's not like a cut out complete. It's just we're out of control on it.
Well, you know, one option is that you use fats for calories, right? So you can eat a very fat-rich meal, and half the population is getting alkalized by fats and proteins. We talked about that, so you can do it vegetarian and on hemp protein, hemp nuts, flax oil, or if you want to use the animal proteins, you can include pork or meat. You know, fish, whatever, all of that.
Right, right.
If you're the other type, if you're the fruitarian type, well, then there are lots of carbs in the fruits and veggies. Just eat your watermelon until you're stuffed.
Is it possible to get stuffed on watermelon?
Oh, yes. I've done it. And it's the funniest thing. I would take these watermelons that are, I don't know, you know, the length of your forearm, you know, like, I don't know what you're
yep. Yep.
More than a foot long and about the size of your head, right?
Yeah.
I would slice that and eat a quarter of it and just straight up.
It's a great thing to do on a hot summer day.
Yes, when it's still cold in the morning.
Okay, so Martin, if we're talking about addiction, normally, in my mind anyway, to break an addiction, you know, first of all, there has to be the will, but there also has to be things that we can do to support those times when we've got those cravings or whatever. And I was just thinking, is there any of the products that the Life Enthusiast Co-op has that would be really supportive of moving from a highly addictive carb addiction to cutting that back?
Yes. Well, you know, all the superfoods, all the high nutrient density foods are hugely beneficial because they will help quench the addictions. So, but it's more than anything, it's the switching to the right kind of food. So if you're the fat and protein type, you know, you can get your hemp protein or your coconut oil from us, you know, it's there on the website. If you're the fruitarian, vegetarian, well, you'll do great on all of the superfoods. Well, actually, both types will.
Both types will, right. So what we're talking about here is packing the body full of nutrients, because really, when we've mentioned it many times, the typical North American or Western diet is high calories, low nutrition.
Yes.
high nutrition.
Yes.
And what we need to do is drop the carbs down quite a bit and get high nutrition into our bodies, because
right.
we need the micronutrients and we need the macronutrients and everything else. So.
Right. So the point is, you cannot find the kind of foods that you need to eat in the middle of the grocery store. You will only find it around the perimeter.
Yeah.
And you do not find it in a fast food outlet. Well, it's there, but it's typically not easily found in a fast food outlet.
Right. And it's not a, yeah. And then also you have to look at what influences you, right? So when you're being asked to supersize it, it's going to be harder to, you know, you want fries with that, you want Coke with that, you know.
Well, No. You need to understand that you can eat an unlimited size salad. So, for instance, if I would show up at Wendy's, which is a little upscale for the fast food, or even at McDonald's, I would need to order two or three of their salads, and then, you know, if I were into the hamburger, well, I'd have to order the hamburger and throw away the bun.
Yeah.
Or if I were into the carbs, I would order one of their baked potatoes. And that's it. You know, you cannot eat this thing called sandwich. It just doesn't do it.
Yeah.
It's badly combined. It's got lots of empty calories. I just recently saw a clip on the news where Taco Bell was found to be stuffing their beef with, I forget now, 15% of it was oats.
Oh.
Right? So late night show host was making fun of it, saying, hey, they're going to be now claiming that it lowers cholesterol, because that's the same claim that's made for Cheerios, right? But it's wrong, right? It's wrong. If you're going to eat protein, I want pure protein. If I'm going to eat carbohydrate, I want pure carbohydrate. I don't want them together. So it's just definitely going the wrong direction.
Right.
Anyway, the solution, you need counseling. If you're listening to this and you're confused, you need to call, really. 1-866-4-ABC. 543-3388. Or you can go onto the nutrition pages. You can find them there in the health education. Get yourself educated about what food combining is all about. Understand what the acid versus alkaline is, how what foods work with what other foods, and you need to figure yourself out whether you are supposed to be eating more proteins and fats or more fruits and veggies. You're one or the other, not both. You need to understand. And all of those diet success stories that you saw in that magazine, I strongly speculate those were all the people that are supposed to be eating more fats and proteins. So when they cut out the carbs, that's where the success came.
Cool.
So find me at life-enthusiast.com or dial 1-866-543-3388. We'll help you figure it out.
You've been listening to the Life Enthusiast Co-op Online Radio Network, restoring vitality to you and the planet. Thanks for joining us, everyone. We'll see you next week.